What's up, everybody? Welcome into another episode of the Celtics Talk podcast, a very special episode. Chris Forsberg here, still in quarantine land, but this week, one of my favorite pods of all time. We got Mike and Tommy back here. If you listened last week, we caught up with them, but the real reason we wanted them on is because recently we hit a milestone. Right before the season was suspended in March, we crossed 1,500 Tommy Awards delivered. So essentially, this was born out of the fact that Tommy Heinsohn used to give out Tommy points during the game. Someone would go to the ground to get a scrappy loose ball or make a clutch steal, and they would get Tommy points during the broadcast. And it sort of took on a life of its own.
Marcus Smart, that's a Tommy point.
I remember even as a young kid watching games and seeing people holding up Tommy point signs. It was nice to dive in with Mike and Tommy and figure out a little bit more of the history. And you go through the archives of the 1,500 winners, and there's some really funny names in there. Santa Claus won it one year. The Seattle Fish Guys got it back in 2004. Maury Epstein, the entire 1957 Celtics won on their 50th anniversary in 2007, and a whole bunch of others, a long-forgotten Celtics names. But as you'll hear coming up, Tommy explains that some of his favorite Tommy Awards always went to the unsung heroes. Part of it, as he'll explain, is because Red Auerbach always tried to accentuate the lesser known players. Paul Pierce still at the top of the list. You'll hear Mike Gorman ask just how many he's won. Paul tops the list. He's far and away the leader, something like 137 Tommy Awards. Rajon Rondo, number two at 100. No one else is even close, although Marcus Smart could soon elevate to the number three position. But let's rewind first. Let's figure out how the Tommy point and the Tommy Award came to be. Here's Mike and Tommy on how it all came together. The Tommy Award, and really Tommy points in general. So right before the season was suspended, I guess we crossed the milestone, 1,500 Tommy Awards handed out. What I'm curious is, take me all the way back. Do you remember how the Tommy Award started, Mike? Was this a Paul Lucey creation? Was this just something Paul that came up organically?
Paul had a major part in it. Paul's the best. I mean, he's just the best producer I've ever worked with. I'm sure Tommy would agree. And Tommy, you jump in on this if I'm going down the wrong track, but it seems to me, I remember we just were talking at one point about what could we do that was different? We want to bring something different to the broadcast that wasn't being done anyplace else. And so we came up with this idea of, Tommy said, well, I don't want to just award the high scorer every night saying he's the best player. I want somebody who does the little things that help you win. And so then we get into this whole debate, I remember, about what we would call it. And I wanted to call it a Heine, and because I thought there was a lot we could play with there. Tom nixed that early on in the discussion. We weren't going to have any Heinies. So then we went, that was the evolution of the Tommy point. And I think Paul was very instrumental in coming up with that name. But it really was, it was great for the broadcast because it became this kind of big question as the broadcast rolled on, especially when it first started. Who was going to get a Tommy point and not get a Tommy point, and ultimately who would get the Tommy Award at the end of the game. So it really gave us a good hook. And, you know, I have fun introducing Tommy in public sometimes by saying, if you're 60 years or older, you know Tommy as a player. If you're 40 years or older, you know Tommy as a coach. If you're 20 years or older, you know Tommy as a broadcaster. And if you're 10 years or younger, you think he's Shrek. And that's how Tommy has crossed all, no, but with the Tommy points, the little kids come up with signs. Get me a Tommy point. Get me a Tommy point. So all of a sudden this guy, we knew the people in the 60s who followed him, all the guys that grew up with him were going to like him. But now here's this whole generation of like 12 years old who don't know what he does, but just like this guy. He gives out Tommy points. I want a Tommy point. And it was just Paul Lucey probably deserves most of the credit, but it was just it was a great idea. It caught on, and it really got people who, little kids who weren't that interested in the game to begin with, now all of a sudden wanted a Tommy point. It became a big deal and still is a big deal. I'm still waiting.
Let me tell you about the Tommy point. My concept was to introduce something into the game that people don't recognize. And after all the years as a player, and as a coach, I knew that the press would come in, get a stat sheet, and they'd look over it, and they'd see who scored the most points, who got the most rebounds, who got the most assists, and that would be their story. Now, I learned from Red Auerbach when I was playing that he spread the love. Now, by the love, I mean, boy, when you start a game and you're one of those first five that gets called out to the middle of the floor and the spotlight is on you, all right? Imagine you being a player who's on the bench who believes that you're as good as anybody that's there getting the spotlight, and you're not getting the love. And what Red Auerbach did was extend the love, first with the sixth man role, so that that guy ended up as a special player and he would talk about it, that contribution. And what he did in a locker room was more often talk about Henry Finkel making a something happen in the game, a very relevant play, or played well, or exceeded his role. So, you know, I caught on to that. That's the way I looked at the Tommy Award at the time, is that these don't have to be the highest scorer or the greatest rebounder, although sometimes they are, because it's so so their contribution might be so great. But most of the time, it's the little guy who comes in off the bench and turns the game around or what have you. But not to prolong this thing too long, but you mentioned talking about people in the, you know, in the games getting a Tommy Award. Now, our producer set this up with some cartoons to start, and I think that was promoting it, and I think that was part of the thing, turned it into a fun thing. Mm-hmm. But people would hold up signs when we were on the road. Give me a Tommy point. And I would look at Mike and I'd say, can you believe this? This guy in Minneapolis, in Chicago, open up a sign, give me a Tommy point. The funniest one of all was they would hold up signs. And we're at the garden and some girl holds up this sign and it says, give me a Tommy point, please. My boyfriend will take me to the prom if you give me a Tommy point. So needless to say, we show the sign and I give her a Tommy point. 3 weeks later, she holds up a sign and it says, the Tommy point got me to the prom. All right, so we finish up. The next year, the season starts, and his girl comes up to me, and she's got this guy in tow, and she says, I want you to meet the guy that took me to the prom.
We need to find out if they're still together. Yeah. We need to see if they're still together.
Yeah, we should.
That Tommy point could have led to a family, like generations. That's what the Tommy point does. One of my favorite things is going, when a player first comes to the team, like Enes Kanter this year, he gets his first Tommy Award, and I say to him, hey, you won the Tommy Award tonight. And he kind of looks at me cross-eyed, and I explain it to him. And then I think he doesn't think anything of it. And then, you know, he goes out and has a big rebound night, and he'll come over to me and go, did I get the Tommy Award tonight? And so it resonates with the players as well, as much as they pretend like the media does not exist at times, they definitely are aware of these things, and it certainly resonates. Who do you think, Tommy, who do you think leads the all-time history in Tommy points or Tommy awards? Anybody jump to mind as one of your favorite to give to?
I can't remember specifically, but I get a thrill when an unknown guy, and we have unknown guys, the press, well, they don't know him, or he's new to the team, or whatever. I really get a thrill when I give that type of player a Tommy point. And you look at all the people that win Tommy Awards. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not all the highest scorers.
Yeah.
And some of them, I mean, Marcus Smart is a typical Tommy Award winner because he gives you something that transcends the score sheet. And somebody, like when I was coaching and we won that triple overtime game, a kid came off the bench for me by the name of Glenn McDonald, who just helped us win the game, played, you know, terrific basketball in the third overtime to give us the victory. And those are the things that you got to celebrate, because those are so unusual in sports, where guys respond to the challenge as beautifully as like Glenn McDonald did.
It says here in my notes that Mike Gorman won a Tommy Award in 2004.
Did I?
Well, he gets a Tommy Award every night for dealing with me.
I played really poorly that night.
I need to go back in the archives and figure out what was so special that night. Brian Scalabrine won 15 as a player. And so, like,
Paul Pierce number one?
What's that?
Was Paul Pierce number one?
Let's see. 144 different people have won, including the 1957 team, A Fan with a Sign, Cedric Maxwell, Maury Epstein, Doc Rivers, Dr. Glenn Ross, the Seattle Fish Guys.
The Seattle Fish Guys, absolutely. Tom, you remember that well. Tossing fish to the Seattle fish market.
The entire team won in 2003, and Santa Claus. I do not have a list of who won most. I do have that opponents have won 26 times. And I feel like that's a trend we don't do much anymore, right?
No,
like
it, we don't, yeah. No, we
don't. Well, what we used to do in the games initially is really pronounce a Tommy point, a Tommy mm-hmm. Award point for a guy in the game.
Yeah.
Now we just do it after the game is over. And so people were actually looking at the game and making judgments about the Tommy Award themselves. And that was the fun part about it. I mean, it went way past what I think all of us ever thought of.
Well, Paul Pierce did win twice as an opponent. So pretty much every time he came back as a clip. So I'll have to.
When you see such a great performance by an opposing player, if you're a player like me, you recognize a guy that played great to beat you.
I'm looking. So Jason Levine, one of our behind the scenes digital guys, has kept a full encyclopedic list of the Tommy Award. And it's fascinating. It's just, you know, so the opponents have won 26 times, and I'm looking at some of the names. Vladimir Stepanya, Bobby Surra, Jamal Tinsley, like some real blasts from the past here. So some obvious ones like Shaquille O'Neal and Vlade Divac and Reggie Miller. But I'm eager to dive into the archives and find out what you had to do as an opponent to get one of these things. It has to be. It's either a reflection of how badly the Celtics played that night or otherwise. All right.
He said it earlier.
Well, I learned from Johnny Most that when the Celtics lose, you don't start complaining about the Celtics losing. You compliment the team that beat you because they really played great. So,
and you summed it up in three words, Tom: exceeds his role.
Yes.
That's what Tommy Point.
Yeah.
Well, I'm handing out Tommy Points today. You guys get them all.
Hey there, it's Tom Haverstraw, your national NBA insider for NBC Sports and host of the Haverstraw podcast. If you're like me and you cannot get enough talk about Michael Jordan and the 90s Bulls, you need to listen to my interview with J.A. Adande, who covered Michael, Kobe, and LeBron, and is now the director of sports journalism at Northwestern.
Every time the door would open, I was kind of like, is that Michael? And then finally he comes in.
We'll go deep on all things Michael Jordan. So download the Haverstraw now, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Mike Gorman did get a Tommy point. He was unaware of it while we were taping, but he got one in 2004. He's been waiting ever since to get another one. I'm sure at some point he'll get another Tommy Award along the way. As Tommy Heinsohn said, he deserves one each night for having to deal with him during the broadcast. I just think it's fun to go back in the archives and find it out. And writing this story that you can find on NBC Sports Boston and the My Teams app, I was able to go through and J.R. Bremmer, even opponents. Opponents never were supposed to win this award, but sometimes they were so good they got it. 26 times opponents have won the Tommy Award, including Paul Pierce twice. You know, okay, Tommy still keeping it in the Celtics family when they come back. And this is something that will presumably live on forever. It's fun at the end of the night. You know, sometimes you look at the statue and your inclination is to give it to the high scorer. But Tommy loves to give it to that scrappy guy who maybe came off the bench, made the big play. As he said, Red Auerbach used to talk up Henry Finkel all the time. Neat to put the spotlight on those other guys and let them get some of that shine. We went back in the archives. here's a little something we put together with some of our favorite Tommy Point, Tommy Award moments throughout the years.
Turner again, baseline this time. Nope.
Whoa! Marcus Smart. That's a Tommy Point.
Almost a steal by Pierce there. Shimon going to the floor, and it's picked off by Walker. Ahead to Batee.
That's a Tommy Point if I ever saw him.
Come up with a loose ball.
That's a Tommy Point for Brown.
Rozier again. Rebound. Nice hustle by Pierce. That's a Tommy Point. Garnett's going to have to shoot it. Off the side of the glass. 24 second violation.
Tommy Point for Walter.
Antoine can't get it. Tipped in by Delp. That's a Tommy Point.
Absolutely.
Pierce to the basket. No. Rebound. Pierce. Yes.
I got to give him two Tommy Points there.
I got to give this kid a Tommy Point, yeah.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Celtics Talk podcast. Thank you all for checking it out. We're going to get Mike and Tommy back at some point. Keep their voices fresh so that you can hear them even as we're waiting for basketball to come back. While you're waiting for that, go like, subscribe, leave a comment. We'll be back next week, next Wednesday, with a new episode of the Celtics Talk podcast. We'll see y'all then.